He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the last show of the year. It is the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, working on this New Year's Eve morning, which should be a pretty light trading day. I got to imagine most of the traders are in the Hamptons by now. They're certainly not in Times Square where they would normally be. If it were not for COVID, we've got the Dow down 9 right now. That's where we're going to finish. We're going to finish above 30,000 for the year, which is in and of itself a miracle, considering what we've been through this year. The Dow is at 30,400, 30,400. We've got the S&P 500 up 2 points right now, 37.34, pretty close to the high for the year. I'll have to check that, but that's a big number, 37.34. NASDAQ is down right now, 6 points. We're down just a little bit overall here at the firm. I'd like to finish on a positive note, but we really have. The month of December has been terrific for us. NASDAQ down 8. 12,861, Russell 2,000 minus 16, 1,963. It seems like the small cap rally is kind of slowing down here. The crude oil market's down 38 cents, 48.02 in Texas today. Gold up 550, closing in on 1,900. It did get above 2,000 at a few points this year. The silver stocks were on fire yesterday. What is up with that? Silver's down 4 cents today, 26.53, but they were probably the best group yesterday along with the semiconductor stocks. And we've got the 10-year at 0.93, and we've got Bitcoin today down $110 to $28,479. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with your host, professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Looking forward here to the final trading day of the year. It is a full day. I didn't know that. I thought it would be a half day. But there's no rest for the wicked. We're working right up till the close, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I got to believe, however, volume is going to be very, very light in the market today. And we're off to just a kind of a flat start. S&P up a point, Dow down 8, NASDAQ down 17. We're slightly down overall on the day. Well, there's still some hope, but not a lot, for the $2,000 check instead of the $600 check. Which would you prefer? Would you prefer getting a $2,000 check in the mail or a well, the elections are over, so there's not as much motivation to get out that $2,000 check. Of course, maybe Georgia, they can send them $2,000 checks. We finished the market yesterday with the Dow and really all the averages hitting new highs for the year, which, you know what, who would have ever guessed that? When you think back to the throes of depression and gloom and darkness back in mid-February of this year, who would have ever thought that that was one of the very best buying opportunities in the market, probably during this entire 12-year on-and-off-again bull run that we've seen, which started clear back in March of 2009. Who would have ever thought? Well, I did. And you can go to Seeking Alpha, and you can pull up Bill Gunderson. Not only can you see my market calls beginning in mid-February, which I think I called the bottom within a few days, but then you can see my ensuing articles telling you what to buy. And you can also see how those stocks have done. Of course, I use the Best Stocks Now methodology, which which combines two powerful forces in the market, which I think on their own they're pretty powerful, but when you bring them together, they're even more powerful. And I think there's some real weaknesses when you leave them on their own. So, for instance, value investing. Well, yeah, everybody likes a good bargain. Everybody likes to buy things at a cheap price. But there's a lot of stocks that are cheap for a good reason. They are suffering mightily. I mean, you can look at some of the oil stocks right now and their P.E. ratios and other financial ratios and just see how bad or how cheap they are. But at the same time, many of them are dead in the water. Now, at the other side of the coin, you've got the momentum stocks where valuation flies totally out the window. I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can throw valuations out the window. And I'm happy to have had the career that I've had and the experience that I've gained, not only on the valuation side of the ledger, but also on the momentum side of the ledger. And I believe that when you combine those two, that's the best of all worlds. And you can see the results that we've achieved this year in 2020 by getting a two-week free trial to our newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. I always tell people when they ask me, well, what's your style of investing? What is your philosophy on the market? What do you think of the market right now? Well, I answer those frequently asked questions, those FAQ, every single weekend, every single Saturday in my newsletter. So you always know exactly where I stand, why I stand there, and what I like best at the current time. And you can also check out, I mean, if it produces mediocre results, then I'd flip the channel. I really would. I'd go somewhere else. I'd listen to Dave Ramsey or somebody, some other financial talk show. But if it produces results, then there might be something to say about the methodology. I also believe in defense. You know, I love good football. I grew up watching the Don Coryell and the Air Coryell, the San Diego State Aztecs, putting quarterback after quarterback into the pros over the years. In fact, that whole Western Athletic Conference back then was a throwing conference. BYU with their offensive prowess that they showed. We saw some great games in those days. Once in a while, they would run the football, you know, just to keep everybody honest. But you've also got to have defense. Oh, it's good to rack up 56 points a game. But you've also got to have some defense. This 12-year-plus bull market will not last forever. There will be another severe bear market at some point in the future. And, in fact, at this point in time, there's some excess built into this market. Is it the excess that I saw in 2000? No, I can't say that. But there certainly are some overtones here and there of some extreme excess. So we always have to keep our eye in the rearview mirror and watch for what might be approaching, what might be creeping up on us, because we certainly don't want to lose these hard-earned gains that we've worked so hard for here in the year 2000. Well, the global market's pretty quiet overnight. They'll be celebrating New Year's Eve soon in places like Australia and other places, you know, as midnight moves our way. The stock market will be open for the full day yesterday. However, I got a hunch that I can already see it, that volume, very, very light. Trading desks lightly staffed today, but we are open for a full trading day. If you want to give us a call, 855-611-BEST, we'll place your trade. It's been a crazy 12 months. We started the year at record highs. We had a bear market, believe it or not, this year. It was the shortest bear market that I can remember. It was about 6 to 8 weeks. And then guess what? Record highs yesterday. The S&P's up about 15% for the year. The Dow is up about 6% for the year. The NASDAQ is up 43%. Our ultra growth portfolio has clobbered all of these indexes. And our large cap growth portfolio has more than doubled the S&P 500 here in 2020. Perhaps even more notable, the small-cap Russell 2000 index has gained nearly 19% year-to-date. They have improved since the COVID news. Brexit is finally in effect as the UK leaves the EU single market. I don't want to ever talk about Brexit again, okay? How long ago was that? 4.5 years ago. I remember the day Brexit was passed. The market swooned. You've had two general elections since then in the UK. Plenty of missed deadlines. And Britain is finally closing a chapter on Brexit, okay? Case closed. When we come back, the final initial jobless claims of the year, and what kind of big transformations took place in 2020. Plenty of them, I can tell you that. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Can we finish on a positive note? We're up 17 right now on the Dow. NASDAQ's still struggling. It's only down 8 points, though, however. It's a quiet day. It's going to be a quiet day. We could use a quiet day around here. It's been a noisy year. Initial jobless claims is quiet for these poor folks. 787,000 people. You know what? That's the best number in a while. But wasn't it a four-day work week? Maybe that's the difference. We've been up over 800,000 here recently. We're down to 787 now. What will 2021 bring in the way of new jobs? And those layoffs being reduced, much of that depends on lockdowns and COVID and vaccines, et cetera, and, of course, the overall economy. Well, there was no shortage of coronavirus headlines in 2020, and the economic shocks from the pandemic are likely to reverberate for the foreseeable future. Well, yeah. I mean, some of the things that we saw in 2020, big government staged a comeback. Oh, boy, did it. I thought the Republicans were the party of small government, but when it comes to spending, it was a record year. Federal deficits ballooning as central banks jumped back into the money printing business and interest rates hitting record lows. Well, what will the Biden team bring? Are they going to reduce government and reduce government spending? I don't see that in the cards. Eventually, something's got to give. But right now, the order of the day, borrowing, debt, money, printing across the board, no matter which party is in. Also, we had tremors hitting supply chains across the globe, making businesses and governments more skeptical on their reliance on China. Things were even tougher on the domestic front. Low-paying work in services where there's more face-to-face contact took a gigantic hit. Waiters, waitresses, desk clerks, travel industry, airline industry. While higher up the income ladder, remote offices became commonplace. Stock markets, meanwhile, returned with a vigor that many thought would take years. It did it. We're hitting new all-time highs as of yesterday. With planes grounded and travel at a near halt, big oil felt a real threat that the world was getting serious about climate. Well, no question about it. Look at the move in the electronic vehicle sector versus the move in the oil sector. Crude prices even shockingly went negative at one point. Do you remember that earlier this year? As people stayed home under lockdowns. In the meantime, look at the regulation changes in 2020. California announced further plans to ban the sale of new gasoline and diesel cars by 2035, along with many European countries, while President-elect Joe Biden promised to rejoin the Paris Climate Accords. oil majors also announced an agreement to apply a common set of energy transition principles across their businesses, including a commitment to industry decarbonization. Well, it was the year of Bitcoin, from 7,000 to 28,000. And as I've been saying recently, it has been becoming more mainstream. VanEck, which is a big mutual fund, closed-end fund, ETF, they're trying again for a Bitcoin ETF. Well, I'm not sure why they're not allowed to create one. There already is one on the market, GBTC, which is the Bitcoin Trust. VanEck has attempted to get a Bitcoin ETF approved by the SEC on several occasions, but there's about to be a new sheriff in town. That's right, the SEC Chairman Jay Clayton retired last week. And investment management chief Dahlia Blass, notable for a 2018 letter questioning whether the Bitcoin market was large or deep enough for an ETP, is exiting next month. So there will be some new folks. I got to believe that they'll be a little more, bit more favorable to Bitcoin than the outgoing regime was. Mexico to legalize pot. I thought it was... Well, I guess that's your supply chain down there. Mexico to legalize pot to become the world's largest cannabis market. Of course, Canada legalized pot across the whole nation a few years back, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, somewhere in there. Now there's a glut. You know what? They're learning the same dynamics that soybean farmers, wheat farmers, corn farmers, potato farmers have known for years. It's supply and demand. And if you produce too much of the stuff, it tends to hold prices down, and that's a big problem. Do you think the U.S. under Biden-Harris will legalize pot nationwide? It would not surprise me. Has it helped the pot stocks? Well, you know what? There's a few winners that... this year, I suppose Canopy Growth, Tilray are still the biggest players. There's a few others. But overall, it hasn't been a very good place to invest in, because at the end of the day, it's supply-demand, it's a commodity, and it's a crop. Apple cuts 39,000 paid game apps in China as license deadline hits. Well, if you're in China producing games, and if you don't have a permit from the Chinese government to produce those games, Apple's going to remove your app from their Play Store. Apple removed 39,000 game apps in China. Yet today, actually, the largest single-day app removal. The tech giant removed a total of 46,000 apps since this all began. China had a record low number of game license approvals this year. Apple's tightening of restrictions for paid games could cause more developers to switch to an ad-supported model. I mentioned a stock here recently that I'm going to watch in 2021. It's called Skillz, S-K-L-Z, which is kind of an alternative site to Apple. You have to be a pretty big developer to play on the Apple in the Apple Store, or to get your games out there. But Skillz, S-K-L-Z, is a platform for small game developers, kind of like Seeking Alpha in a way, where just about anybody can write an article for Seeking Alpha. Now, you have to have some minimum basic requirements, I suppose. But Skillz allows you to develop a game, if that's your thing, and put it on the Skillz platform and collect money. Share the dough with Skillz. Skillz not taking much risk. You're taking a lot of risk. Takes a long time to develop a game. But I'm going to keep my eye on SKLZ in 2021, along with several others that I'll talk about when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. It is the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. We'll be right back. welcome back here to the second half of the Best Docs Now Radio Hour in our final show of 2020. Well, I'm seeing some steam come out of the momentum stocks today. You know, it takes some volume to keep those things moving, and I got to believe that the volume's very light. So any kind of selling pressure on those stocks at all is going to take them down. That's where I'm seeing the weakness in the market today, the small caps, the momentum. Let's call them the momentum names. Well, let's call them some of the big winners of 2020, right? Seeing a little steam come out there, not seeing much strength in the market today at all, not seeing any groups that are strong. And where do we stand on the Chinese stocks, you know, that crackdown on Alibaba? That's a big deal. It's a very big deal. I do not like that Alibaba chart at all. At all. I do not own Alibaba either. The pressure on them is enormous right now, and I don't think it's going to get any better. Well, we have had a big speculative move in the market here. I think December, if you wanted to pick one theme in December, it was more the speculative side of the ledger. It was your Bitcoin stocks. It was your crypto type of blockchain, electric vehicle, electric batteries, a little bit of cannabis thrown in for good measure. That was kind of the leadership stocks, drones, flying taxis, robo-taxis. Well, that is kind of coming to a halt for now, but you can't really judge it by today because of the light volume in the market. Here's one. They just announced, I mean, if you just announce that you're going to launch a cryptocurrency exchange, and if you're a Chinese stock, this kind of sums it all up here. This is kind of the poster child of today. Ebon, E-B-O-N, announces today that they will do public testing of their cryptocurrency exchange and launch the exchange in the first quarter of 2021. So if this is your kind of stock, E-B-O-N is the symbol, and it's up 25% today, one of the bigger winners. Now, what is this telling us? I don't know. Wheat futures, I've been watching this. I've been watching the ag crops, which I watch every day. Wheat futures follow soybeans and corn to new 6-year highs. Well, being a religious fellow myself and a devout Christian, you know, I think of Joseph of Egypt, 6 years of fat, 7 years of fat, 7 years of plenty, and then 7 years of lean. I don't know. But I've seen just a really big move recently in staples of life, like wheat, soybeans, and corn. Not sure what that's telling us, but we'll keep an eye on that. After all, if push comes to shove, you can't eat bitcoins, can you? Bank pulls in record fees from equity issues. Boy, I suppose that's another little reminiscence of 2000. We had a record year. When the pandemic hit Europe and the U.S. earlier this year, companies scrambled for cash, with some turning to the equity markets to bolster their liquidity to weather uncertain times. Then with central banks aggressively shoring up financial markets, stocks rebounded, making IPOs attractive, especially for tech. Add to that the surge in special purpose acquisition companies raising money to acquire other companies, and 2020 turned out to be a profitable year for the banks in the equity capital markets. Global equity capital markets activity jumped 55% to a record $1.1 trillion in 2020. Does that sound a little bubblicious? As markets stabilized, then strengthened, IPOs took hold with high-profile names like Airbnb, Snowflake, etc. We recently had DoorDash, etc., going public. IPO volumes rose to a 13-year high. Take note of that, because this has been a 13-year bull market now. Could this be a signal that this bull is about to end. That's why you've always got to keep your eye in the rearview mirror and look at statistics like this. You know, I take in all the news that I possibly can digest in the wee hours of the morn when it's quiet, when I can think, when I can focus, when I can concentrate, when the markets aren't open and trading and moving. I take as much in as I possibly can. I say good inspiration comes from good information, right? The more information you have, the more so-called inspiration you can have to make moves in the market. IPO fees reach a 13-year high of $10 billion, says Refinitiv. Tech IPOs are expected to press on into the first half of 2021. In addition, an equity raises to bolster balance sheets. Well, you're seeing a lot of secondary offerings, too. How many secondary and third and dairy and fourth and dairy and five and dairy offerings did the cruise ship industry do? As many sectors are still suffering from the pandemic. Well, as optimism over vaccine rollouts fuel equity markets, the market gains will attract more private companies. It's a pendulum shift taking place. Tesla, meanwhile, is aiming at 700. Are they going to make it? The little engine that could, the big engine, without an engine that could, 703, it did it. There you go. New all-time high for Tesla. Tesla is now a $665 billion company. The worst mistake I made in 2020? Selling my Tesla. Not my car, my stock. It's at 704. I just thought the valuation was ridiculous. But you know what? Never mind. They make electric cars, and Elon Musk is the CEO. Just buy it and shut up and watch it go higher. Shares are up 22% in December so far. And get this. Tesla is up 730% year to date. How many short sellers did that one hurt? It's that annual run of 730% year to date that slams short sellers more than any other stock this year. Those shorting Tesla saw $38 billion in mark-to-market losses for 2020, Bloomberg reports, citing data from S3 Partners. Tesla wiped out $38 billion of short seller money. I know there was a big one, one of the biggest ones. I can't think of his name right now, but he lost a bundle shorting Tesla. What was the second biggest wipeout stock for the short sellers? Apple. The shorts lost $7 billion. In other words, they took it in the shorts. Exxon points to another expected quarterly loss amid $20 billion in write-downs. Well, okay. Are you a momentum? Do you like to buy things in favor, or do you like to chase things that are out of favor? Are you a contrarian? If you're a contrarian, I would say no other sector should be more attractive to contrarians right now than the oil sector. And in fact, I saw one article exuberantly, with an exuberant headline, it's done the cross. The 50-day has crossed above the 200-day in the XLE Energy ETF. Is that enough reason to buy it? Well, I just keep seeing losses stack up. I see layoffs happening. I see prices very dull. And I see a movement to renewable energy like I've never seen before. So I'll let you decide. Energy hits, the golden cross. That's what it's called, the golden cross. The death cross is the other way, when the 50-day crosses below the 200-day. Well, you recently saw the XLE, which is the energy sector ETF, for all you contrarians that are looking for something out of favor. It made the golden cross with the 50-day crossing above the 200-day. Now, having said that, technical analysis is one of the legs of the stool that I stand on. But I also like momentum, performance. The oil stocks have sorely underperformed the market now for years. I also like valuation. It's hard for me to imagine how many of these oil stocks are going to maintain these dividend yields that they're currently paying out. And from the other perspective, the technical perspective, yeah, there may be a golden cross, but those aren't very good charts. What is a good chart before we leave here? Freeport McMoRan. That stock more than doubled this year. FCX, major breakout, one of the biggest winners in the S&P 500 this year. What were some of the other big ones? Well, we own some of them. Talk about them when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, I'm going to give you 10 reasons here why you ought to put our show, our podcast, on your daily to-do list. Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. It's live every morning. I produce this show. I do it live every morning, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen live on the Internet or through the podcast sites. We're live in Minnesota at 10 a.m., and other markets were delayed a little bit. You also should get the newsletter every week. You go to GundersonCapital.com to sample a couple of weeks. You should also talk. You know, appointments are getting harder and harder to get with my advisors, and we're going to start advertising and sending out availabilities we have during the week if you'd like to grab one this year to talk to Barry, Paul. Who knows, maybe we'll have some new advisors in 2021, we'll see. But right now, we are ready to talk with you. And download the Best Stocks Now app on your iPhone, or better yet, just do it on the web. BestStocksNowApp.com. Here's 10 reasons. 2020, here's some winners that we're currently holding or we've sold. Fiverr. FVRR up 370%. Shopify, it's one we sold, up 300%. That's a quadruple this year. These are stocks from this year. Teladoc up 300%. Apple in our dividend and growth list up 248%. AMD up 190%. Now, of course, we've had losers and we've had stocks that haven't done this well. That's why you need to look at the entire newsletter and look at the total results. I'm not going to just go on the air here and crow about my winners. You have to look at the whole picture. All right? You can judge how we did. You can look at tipranks.com. That's an independent service. I have nothing to do with them. That's all they do is monitor me and others, some 15,000 other analysts, bloggers, research guys from the top firms in America, on down to Gunderson Capital Management, which we're pretty proud of, actually. And you can see where Bill Gunderson and his team rank overall, because we put our necks on the line every single week. In fact, we have a brand new article just released on Seeking Alpha. It's our last article of 2020. It's one that I identified through my Best Stocks Now app, did my research on, and it meets my criteria of valuation, growth, flourishing, momentum, good stock chart, technical analysis. I've got Barry, my CFA, chartered financial analyst. He puts some meat on the bones after I give him the basics. And we have a brand new article out today on Seeking Alpha. You can see how we did in Seeking Alpha this year versus all the other knuckleheads like me that are on their service. We're in the top 2% of all of the bloggers, article writers, analysts, etc. Then when you extend out to the bigger crowd of all of the 15,000 that they track, many of them from the big firms, the big wirehouse firms, You can see where we rank there. We're in the top 5% of all those folks. And it doesn't matter. If you're totally, totally conservative with your investments, don't like to take a lot of risk, just dip your little toe in the water, we've looked at all of the alternatives to stocks, uncorrelated to stocks, etc. And I came away with the, when you look at the commissions involved in a lot of the alternative investments and the illiquidity involved in a lot of the alternative investments, I came to the conclusion and I decided with Paul's help to create a bond fund. You have liquidity. You're going to get your principal back at the end of the day unless something really dramatic happens, but we're picking these bonds from our best stocks now list. For instance, a Netflix, when we picked it up, it had about a 4.5%, almost 5% yield, and it's a best stock now. That's just one example. And if you're super aggressive, pedal to the metal kind of person, you know, I developed my emerging growth portfolio. That's our AA baseball team. It has soared this year. A lot of those big winners. Step up a little ways from that, our ultra growth portfolio, which is made up of small and mid caps. It has killed the markets this year, with no guarantees in 2021 other than I'll be here working as hard as I possibly can to beat what we did in 2020 or to at least keep it up. And then, of course, we have our large cap growth fund, which swamped the S&P 500 this year with no guarantees going forward. Its two-year return has been magnificent. And we have our dividend and growth portfolio. It hasn't been the best of years for dividend-paying stocks. Hard to get alpha out of those stocks, but we managed to do it in 2020. And don't forget, we've been pretty good with our macro call because we're not a firm that believes in being 100% invested in the market come hell or high water. We're not Vanguard. We're not from the Vanguard school of thought where you stay fully invested through thick or thin. The problem is there's people later in their retirement years that can't afford to take a 50 or 60% haircut. Now, I can't guarantee that I can prevent that, but I can tell you that we're very, very vigilant here at Gunderson Capital Management. We realize we're in our 13th year of this bull market. It's been off and on. We've had a few short bears along the way. The valuations are stressed. We're seeing a lot of speculation. We've had a record year for IPOs, as always. I think every money manager will tell you, I'm always nervous. I'm always on alert and scared of what might be creeping up against me. But at the same time, we're finding new innovators and new disruptors all the time, which we're going to keep up. That's the beauty. That's the joy. That's the fun of this business and being able to report back some of the big winners we snagged in 2020. Now, if you'd like to reserve an appointment. Like I say, it's getting harder and harder. If you'd like to reserve an appointment with my guys, my gals here at Gunderson Capital Management in 2021, that'd be a great New Year's resolution. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Edie will check the reservation list, see where she can work you, and I'm sure we'll figure something out, even if it be in the evenings. And try out the newsletter for a couple weeks at GundersonCapital.com. Happy New Year, everybody. We'll be back at it on Monday. Have a great day.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.